Welcome back to Brain Scramblies, your favorite What We Do in the Shadows rewatch podcast. I'm Claire.
I'm Carson.
I'm Richie.
And I'm Matt.
And if the audio sounds a little weird, Matt and I are in the same place, so that would be why. Yes, thank you, Carson's applauding.
We're doing a live show tonight, folks.
Live! Except that Carson and Richie are still on the screen, but, you know, two of us are in the same place. And we don't have any emails, so we'll just tell you that we watched What We Do in the Shadows Season 3, Episode 4, entitled The Casino, and because nobody's reached out to us, I'll remind you again that if you want a shout-out at the beginning of the show, you can email us, brainscrumbliespod@gmail.com, and I'll shoot it over to Richie for our Richie recap.
Let's get Richie to recap!
I think Richie should do it. Richie can try.
Okay, Richie recap time. So the vampires, everybody, they're leaving Staten Island, making a trip all the way down to Atlantic City. That's right, Sean and Charmaine. 20th year anniversary, I think they say. Renewing their vows. Everyone's favorite couple. So everyone's excited, going down to Atlantic City, gonna gamble, gonna go to the casino, gonna do their things. One of the things that they must remember going to Atlantic City is to bring their ancestral soil. Kind of new wrinkle that I think we haven't learned about before. But they basically need their ancestral soil. Be under their beds or whatever they sleep, I guess coffins sometimes do, in order for them to have their vampire power. So big thing there they're kind of learning. Once they're in Atlantic City, using the vampires make a little bit of an effort to try to get to know Guillermo better, since he has this new title of bodyguard and they kind of want to accept him as part of their family. So while they're doing that, they're also enjoying the spoils of the casino. Nadja has her Rat Pack duo, or trio, not duo, famously a trio, in which she gets back. Hagrid has fun of them. Colin Robinson is enjoying the blackjack table and draining everyone there. And Nandor is enjoying the slot machines with Guillermo, protecting him as his bodyguard. While they're having fun at the casino, one of the hotel staff goes into the room and accidentally vacuums up all of their ancestral soil. So all of a sudden, they can't function as vampires. They're completely drained. They have no powers. Bad stuff. Bad news. So in order to try to fix this, they send Guillermo on a trip across Europe and also into the Middle East to try to receive some ancestral soil. Unfortunately, to do this, they must borrow some money from Shawnee, who, as we learn later in the show, has a lot of financial issues. So that also brings up a new issue where Sean has lost all of his money gambling. Also lost, I think it was like around $7,000 trying to get vampires tickets to go to their places. So in true Ocean's 11 fashion, at the end of the show, they put together a little scheme to try to get Sean's money back, and everything turns out gravy. So yeah, Richie recap.
We turns out gravy, that classic Richie saying.
So true.
Oh yeah.
What kind of Northern English ass saying was that? I was obsessed with gravy.
Turns out gravy.
I feel like that's like a normal thing.
No.
Everything I have absolutely actually never heard that.
I've never heard that, and I've never heard you say that as well, which is pretty funny.
I think I made that up.
It's like Eric Adams saying that we've always said that New York City is the Port-au-Prince of America, and then somebody fact-checking there were like, Eric Adams only Eric Adams says that. Yeah.
He's the craziest man.
Richie is the Eric Adams of this podcast.
We've always said
that.
Don't say that. Yeah, because I just Googled turns out gravy, and everything that pops up is like, how to fix lumpy gravy. So, yeah. I like it, though. I like it, though. I'll continue to use it, but... Yeah, let's talk about things that are actually real.
Let's talk about like the let's TV talk about show. Gravy.
Like vampires?
Well, my first note is they have so much luggage. It's a really good observation from me. Thank you.
They certainly don't travel light.
Sorry, Claire. Not to ruin the podcast from or just deviate from what you just said, but in your words, should we proceed linearly through our own podcast narrative, which is, what was everyone's first
Singer,
impression?
Our first impression. Yeah, I forgot the format of the show. Sorry, guys. Matt's distracting me by being in the flesh, so.
In the flesh?
Yeah. Tangible.
Yeah. What was everyone's first impression, Carson?
I was really excited when I realized that this was the episode. I saw the title of the episode, and I was like, oh, I love this episode, and it did not disappoint. So, this one holds up. I think it's one of the better episodes the show has.
Yeah, I was pumped. I love the Atlantic City episode. It's also fun when you see them like not in Staten Island because they're so often just there. So it's kind of exciting to see them once again in a place that isn't Staten Island to kind of be exposed to new people and see how they react there. Not that, like, Atlantic City and Staten Island are the most dissimilar places in the world. but, yeah, still fun.
Yeah, that's an awesome episode. I think I agree with Carson. I think it's one of their stronger ones. It just seems to have, like, its own coherent or cohesive, like, narrative and, like, jokes. It's, like, self-contained jokes and stuff. It doesn't really, like, rely on the other parts of the plot. It's just, like, a standalone. I think it's really, really stand out.
I think it pushes the show forward, too, though. There's a lot that we can talk about. I think this sets up a lot for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
It's just a good ep, guys. I feel like we've pointed to this episode in the past as being a good example of the show taking the characters in the situation and just pushing it to, like, crazy levels, where they're like, what if we put a bunch of vampires in a casino? And that's such a funny idea that it carries the episode. But then they also put in all these little plot elements, and it's great. I love it. So anyway, they have so much luggage.
Yeah.
Should we now proceed linearly? We have Laszlo talking about Morris from steerage, how he would wank Morris from steerage off as an example that travel used to be much easier not being a vampire.
I'm not surprised you picked up on that one, Carson.
I fully did.
I'm not gonna, I completely missed that.
It's just his brain didn't register.
But then we also get some new lore, Claire.
What's the lore?
This introduces the ancestral soil bit. You have to have your ancestral soil.
Yes. Is this... Okay, question for the group. So this is a thing in Dracula.
Oh, is it really?
Dracula... Was that a question?
No. Oh. This is a thing in Dracula? This is a thing in Dracula by Bram Stoker, where Dracula has to ship these, like, crates of earth alongside him because that's...
A crate?
Yeah, on the ship.
Whoa, they have, like, tablespoons of dirt.
Yeah, and he brings a lot of dirt. Anyway, I don't know if it was a thing. I assume it was a thing before Dracula. I don't know if anybody knows, or, like, is it a thing now in modern vampire mythos? I feel like normally we kind of skip out on that.
I had never heard of this before this episode.
It's not in Twilight.
The gold standard for vampire representation.
Yeah, that's
true.
But to be fair, I feel like a lot of people's, like, information and, like, mind image of vampires is based off of Twilight at this point. Like, it had a lot of cultural currency.
I do know that vampire bats do not need soil to sleep.
Thank you, bat what fact of the day.
Interesting observation.
Is this just going to be every episode now? Bat facts?
That wasn't listed in a bad fact, so good research.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's true.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of it outside of this TV show. Then again, despite my position on a vampire TV show podcast, I'm not the biggest expert when it comes to vampire lore. But
they should just give you a degree for the podcast.
Yeah, honestly.
Vampirology.
I'll award myself one. Honorary doctorate, something like that. But yeah, speaking of that, though, I hadn't heard of it before, but I did have, like, questions about it as soon as it was brought up. Because it says, I think they specifically said the ancestral soil of your country.
Yeah.
And that, to me, was, like, confusing, because, like, the idea of, like, what a country is and, like, contested
borders.
And stuff like that, yeah, and, like, that's what I was kind of interested, like, later in the show, to see specifically, like, where they go to get the soil.
Yeah, because Nandor's country doesn't exist anymore. Like, Guillermo's going to Iran, right?
Yeah, it just said southern Irani.
Well, he didn't even really go to Iran. He just kind of, like, scooped some dirt from
over the fence.
Yeah, I was just wondering about that, because it's, like, but
Richie,
I
didn't think about it before you brought this up. Laszlo definitely leaves in the Jackie Daytona episode, and we don't see him bring any soil.
This is a good point.
So, did he bring soil then? I mean, we're led to believe he must have, but it wasn't brought up then.
He must have.
He flew away pretty quick. Like, I don't remember him taking much luggage.
Didn't he have, like, that go bag in the motel, though?
He did have the go bag.
Oh, he did have the go bag. Yeah. So, presumably,
there must have been dirt in there.
He would have also stashed some dirt. But, like, how much dirt does there have to be? Is it just, like, a little bit is okay?
It seemed like a little bit, just, like, a little tiny bag.
Well, but you would presume that they wouldn't do that good of a job vacuuming on the first try. There would be some dirt particles left
over. That's true. Maybe you need, like, a visible
So it has to
amount.
Be some critical mass of dirt? Like,
maybe it's psychosomatic. This would solve all the problems. It's psychosomatic. And,
honestly, that could be it, probably.
Could be any dirt.
But they didn't know about it before they couldn't sleep.
Oh.
So ancestral. The word, like, ancestral... Also, like, maybe a kind of question, like, if I was a vampire, like, what would be, like, I don't know, people move around. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's got to be from Connecticut, Rich.
Yeah, like, I don't know, Connecticut, or, like, maybe I'm, like, someone who moves around or something like that. Like, where is my ancestral soil? What if you don't have, like, firm attachments to a singular place, like, as a vampire?
You can I do guess it's probably where you got also. Turned, maybe?
Maybe. That's also what I was thinking.
But how specific is that, though, I think is also part of Uchi's point of the countries.
That's a good point. Yeah. It just has like, to be in undefined border of countries, which is...
Because Laszlo's, they went to Heathrow, which is, like, West London, like, west of London. And I know, like, Laszlo's, like, vaguely British. Naja's, like, I actually paid attention to... Credit to me for actually paying attention.
Woo!
The beach where they got the sand from, like when I listed it on the captions when Guillermo got it, was a beach on the island of Antipaxos in Greece. Oh. So at least for Najas, we know. Maybe that was a little bit specific. But yeah, like Carson said, when they went to Nandor's homeland, it was just like southern Iran border, like not specific at all.
I did like how he just reached under the fence to get the soil as well. Like, he did get it from the other side of the fence.
Yeah, that was funny.
We're really putting our liberal arts degrees to work here, folks.
We are like, indeed.
Country borders are malleable. What does it mean to be a thing from somewhere?
On a completely unrelated topic, I am very curious because I, in my brain, had fully remembered this episode taking place in Las Vegas, and it was 20 times funnier when he started singing Viva Atlantic City, and I was like, oh yeah, it doesn't happen in Vegas.
Just wanted it to be. That's your ancestral
soil. That is my ancestral soil, so
the sands of honestly. Vegas.
True. I thought it was funny. Did anybody else have this same feeling, or is this just a uniquely me thing?
Well, because I've been to Las Vegas, I haven't been to Atlantic City, so maybe I was just like, through my own limited interpretation of the world, was like, oh, it must be
Casinos, Las Vegas. They just make sense to me.
Well, I think I didn't blurt out Atlantic City.
I hope we don't have any listeners from Atlantic City.
Can I say, they do something in this episode that I don't think I've seen before, which is that, so first of all, they start out with the theme song that's played is Matt Berry playing the piano, playing the theme song, playing Norma Tanega, You're Dead, which I think is great.
Beautiful.
A little diegetic music. Oh. And then they play like scenes from the show over the intro. They don't just have the normal intro, which I think is fun. I think it signals to the watcher that, you know, we're going outside of the boundaries of Staten Island today. We're going somewhere new, going on a little trip. I think it's very delightful. I was engaged fully.
Agreed. I normally go on my phone during the opening credits. Oh. And because I'm a little gremlin and addicted to my phone. And fully, I did not go on my phone this opening credit because it was different and new. And I was like, this is fun. I enjoyed this.
Gen Z is always on their phones.
It kind of made me wish that they did that for every episode. Where like they pulled the cold open into the credits where they're like traveling around, or maybe you like see some silly things that they're doing as a result of what happened in the first like 90 seconds.
But I pose to you, is it just fun because it only happens very limited? Like at some point, like when they do like the studio logos at the beginning of a movie and they make it like themed to the movie, like at some point you have to have the normal so it can be different from the normal. If it's just always different.
But what I'm saying is it's no longer time fun. It's like kind of passing like nonverbal shots of them like being silly in some regard of how the episode starts. So every time it's novel.
Yeah. But I'm saying then it is no longer novel.
Because you don't have the
frequency of if it's novelty becomes like normal.
Exactly. But if literally every shot is new.
Well, then it is by definition novel, not in the novel way that we're describing.
Novelty is a novel.
We're getting so into the weeds, guys.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, I liked the intro is what I'm saying.
Yes.
I also noted that they brought taxidermy animals with them when they traveled, which is fucking crazy.
That was very funny, and the fact that Nadja pushes the TV back so she can put up her like falcon, that was very funny. Did you notice Colin in the mirror?
Yes.
Yeah, he looks all like sickly and gross.
He looks weird in the mirror. He always looks weird in mirrors. It's like
does he? So I had not noticed this before.
I had noticed this before, and I swear to God, on the podcast I've talked about.
Probably. I'm
computer
sorry.
We'll restart to update outside of active hours.
How would you stop for a computer sound? You couldn't have just powered through that. Now I have to edit around this. Ding, ding.
Yeah.
You didn't leave it in.
Anyway, Colin looks weird in mirrors, and they never address it. This never comes up. It's just an editing thing that they do, and I think that's so funny. It's for the, like, five people that notice, I guess.
It's like what you told me about the new series of Taskmaster. For Carson and Richie, who don't watch Taskmaster, boo, hiss, hee-haw. In the new series, Taskmaster. Season. Yeah. Seriously. Nick Mohammed dresses up as a vampire, and Claire told me, I actually haven't checked this, that editors edit him out of any reflective surface.
That's so just specific. Just for no one. So
for
funny.
The five for people no that one, yeah. see it. They don't reference it at all, and that's, like, honestly funnier.
It's, yeah, it's just, like, cute and fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you noticed it, Claire, so someone noticed.
I did, and you did as well, Carson. Holding down the...
Well, I remember our conversation with the production designer, and she was like, I don't know, she made the comment that, like, they always have to make sure that what they put on the boxes is relevant and means something, because there are people that will pause and
me
zoom in and zoom and enhance and
I'm people
try to see exactly what they're writing everywhere. So
I'm there. Production team, you're welcome.
Production team, look out. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I will also say this episode is great for, like, little tail ends of conversations. I feel like this is something that I appreciate about the show, is that we'll sometimes just kind of come in halfway through the scene where people are having conversations and we don't hear the full thing, but it gets to be incredibly funny. There's this interaction where Nadja is talking to one of Charmaine's friends. And all we hear is Nadja says, "Oh, Norway," and the lady says, "Well, Nordstrom Rack." Just such a good tail end of a conversation.
This was an excellent episode for Nadja. I loved her.
She throughout. Shines.
It was great. She gets to play like she's like drunk off her ass, like for almost half of the episode.
It's awesome.
I love the callbacks to Ocean's 11 and the Rat Pack and all of that. I don't know.
The images they edited of her and, like, Frank Sinatra were super well done, I thought.
I those didn't notice because all I wrote was Natasha Dimitriou is really hot. So.
Yep. It's actually the only note Claire has where yeah, just, like, looking over her shoulder.
Again.
Just repeated over. Yeah.
All Nadja, no play makes Claire a dull girl.
Ocean's 11. Love the callback to Ocean's 11 and how Sean inexplicably loves Ocean's 12 more than Ocean's 11. He refers to Ocean's 11 as not just a prequel. Crazy.
That's genuinely just, that's just funny.
That's how I feel about Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 and Paul Blart Mall Cop 1.
Honestly, I had forgotten that Sean loved Ocean's 11 until about halfway through this episode. And it was like, oh my god, this is like a complete reference to Sean's love of Ocean's 11, and I thought it was really funny.
It's great.
Paul Blart Mall Cop and Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 are a prequel and a sequel, respectively, to a movie that does not exist in between them. I think that's the best way to understand it.
It stars the African crane.
Yeah. That's what I think of. Sorry.
We've gone off track.
I would just like to point out that I think it's really funny that anytime someone mentions Sean, Lazo just goes, "Shawnee," like, without fail. And then there's also Frankie, like, just Rich, every time. He doesn't really talk to Sean, he just says, Shawnee.
Rich, for whatever reason, I feel like you really like Sean. Is that true?
I feel like Rich is a lot like Sean.
Oh, mine's Sean. Like, I like Sean.
Okay.
Rich gives Big Sean vibes.
See, this is just the... White straight man hate crime by Carson.
It really is just appearance. Like, you do somewhat resemble Sean.
No, I
it's okay.
I don't
Carson,
think so.
I can handle.
No, yeah. It's big. The actor is like 48 or something.
Richie,
imagine
I won't stand
Rich
for that.
20 years older.
Yeah, he's gonna look exactly the same, aging like a goddamn wine. Look at him.
Just look. I don't know. I don't know how old I look. That's something I struggle with. I don't know.
Because
I assume you look your age.
He doesn't show up in the movies, that's
thank you.
So
okay.
We have an episode, we have a discussion at the table with Guillermo. So they send Guillermo off. Yeah. Like, what they sent him off to go get something. I don't remember what it was. They have a
broom.
Nandor has a heart-to-heart with the whole gang minus Guillermo to start treating him better and take an interest in his likes and like desires. So they have a very funny conversation, I think, where they all just talk about how they enjoy things and they have hobbies.
Colin Robinson lists his interests and he says, "I like to walk around. I like to stare." It's tough though. This arc of Guillermo's I find really interesting because he is struggling to have a place here because he fought so hard to not just be a familiar, to be a bodyguard. And yet not really a lot has changed. And I feel like Nandor is sticking up for him, but he's he's unwilling to draw like a hard line about like Guillermo's boundaries or how the other vampires should be treating him. So it's like, it's kind of up to Guillermo to fight for his own place here.
Nando doesn't want to look lame in front of the other vampires, but he feels like he wants to stick up for Guillermo too, because Guillermo's done a lot for him. The code of the warrior.
Also, Laszlo's outfit, guys, it's a stellar one. Oh, it's one.
Awesome.
I did not notice. I'm very
excited. It's like a bedazzled
suit.
Is it bedazzled or is it sequined?
Claire and I are grabbing, look like we are grabbing our own breasts right now.
I am grabbing my own breasts.
Claire, right, this is very important. Bedazzled or sequined?
I think it's bedazzled. I think it's gemstone.
Bedazzled. Yeah. Fancy. Yeah. Wow.
Carson would care about that difference.
They're very different. Wow. Colin also has another great line. He goes, "Oh, come on, you stinky bitch. The library is open."
Yeah.
This episode is so, so quotable. Because
I still have no idea what that means.
They talk about sex, and Laszlo goes, "Anything gets me hard. Everyone fucks and sucks. Thousands of chaps and chapesses."
I love the word chapesses. Chaps and chapesses.
Chapess is incredible.
Well, I honestly feel like, and I could be completely wrong on this, but that feels like an improvisation that he just said on the day.
They just let him
go. Chapesses.
Sometimes the best words and sayings are improvisations, like chapesses or almond gravy. You know,
bandit.
So, yeah, bandit as a
bandit as a friend. I'm not over it.
Bandit to bandit.
We've all been there. Nadja has her little moment with the Rat Pack, a band that she knew in its original incarnation, and seems not to realize that this is a tribute act.
Oh, I love this. Definitely. I love this joke. I love the bit. And also, I love the fact that in the credits, all of the people that play the Rat Pack people are credited as like Frank Sinatra.
Ring-a-ding-a-ding.
Ring-a-ding-ding.
Wait, guys, am I like... Is that a real band? Like, is that a stupid question to ask?
Yeah.
Is that a real band?
Yeah.
Like
Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra and the Rat Pack. I don't know who else. Frank Sinatra.
Dean Martin. They're famous. And, Dean Martin is the other one I knew.
They were the original Ocean's 11 cast. No, I'm not kidding. Like, in the original Ocean's 11... Not the remake that they did with George Clooney.
Wait, sorry, there's an original Ocean's 11?
Yeah.
What?
So it's like a third layer reference. But they're like
a casino.
Yeah.
This is blowing my mind, you guys. I'm really
Claire laughed at me when I said the original Ocean's 11, by the way. I don't know if you picked that up.
I did.
But yeah, Frank Sinatra was like in the original.
I thought you were making Ocean's a joke. 11.
He's also not a very good guy.
Been in the news lately.
Has anybody seen the original Ocean's 11?
Sorry.
I didn't know what to think until right now.
Rachie, did you just say Frank Sinatra has been in the news recently?
He has been in the news lately.
Why?
How?
Do you know who Ronan Farrow is?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's like pictures of him that he's like at some event, and he looks just like Frank Sinatra in them. And like his mom said like years ago, like, yeah, he could be Frank Sinatra's kid. So people think he's Frank Sinatra's child now.
Well, crazy.
His dad would have been Woody Allen. He doesn't look like Woody Allen.
That's the dude who got like almost killed.
Yeah, he's the Weinstein guy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's also the guy who got like a JD from Yale when he was like 18.
All right.
What?
So, right. Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's a bit annoying too.
We have another great line from Nadja. Alcohol, I have to drink it. Yum yum. As she proceeds to pretend to drink the alcohol in front of her.
It is very good. She just says, "Crooner's gonna croon." So true. We then get to my favorite part, which is the vampires enter the casino. And Nandor.
We have different pit.
Nandor gets really into the. Is this not your favorite part?
Oh,
Carson?
No, this is my favorite part. Sorry.
Nandor gets really into the. Sorry, Matt's doing my hand gestures. Thank you, Matthew. Anyway, Nandor gets really into the Big Bang Theory board game.
Bazinga.
No. What did I say?
The Big Bang Theory slot machine.
Board game slot machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bazinga is the war cry of Sheldon, their tall leader. Yeah. Brief poll, who likes the Big Bang Theory? Because I know Matt hates it.
I don't like it.
I don't. I like Young Sheldon, I'm not going to lie. It's kind of sweet.
I enjoy the Big Bang Theory. I'm sorry.
Carson,
it's a fun show.
Yeah, you do. Like,
you're a Young Sheldon truther, no?
I have never actually seen Young Sheldon, so I can't comment on that show.
I thought you had.
No, actually, I have not.
What does it mean to be a truther about Young Sheldon?
I mean, what clearly...
The Young Sheldon truthers believe Young Sheldon isn't actually the Young Sheldon. He doesn't actually grow up to be a Sheldon Cooper.
Whoa.
In my mind, they're not the same. Because also, I would hate Young Sheldon.
Also, wait, can we discuss the fact that there are different networks that air these? So, like, how did they get the rights to the Big Bang Theory? That could not have been cheap, right?
I'm going to butt in here, Carson. I'm going to say that's not super on topic, dog.
I weirdly have an anecdote that ties what we do in the shadows and the Big Bang Theory together once more.
Oh.
And I think I probably told on the podcast before, but if I haven't, this is the perfect time.
You've had sex to both shows.
Okay. Dead stop. What?
Well, Matt had sex to Boss
that's
Baby.
Me. That's so me.
Guy. Yeah, that's yeah. That's oh, Matt. Sorry, you're going
to
expect
that.
That's
me, yeah. Name a network TV show I haven't banged one out to.
Lost.
Oh, that's a good one.
Whoa.
Sorry, Claire. I'm so sorry.
Anyway,
I've completely derailed this.
My anecdote is I went to New York Comic Con this past year dressed as Colin Robinson. And I thought I made it pretty obvious that I was Colin Robinson. I didn't have a bald cap, but I was Colin Robinson from that one episode where he has hair. And I thought I'm all in beige. I looked a lot like him in that one episode. I was like, people will get it. The first person I run into, she looks at me and she goes, oh, are you dressed as young Sheldon? And I immediately was like, get this costume off of me. I have to go home.
While you did look a lot like Colin, there. I got Dwight Schrute from you. Oh, sorry.
No,
I got
Dwight Schrute.
I'm sorry. I got big God. Dwight energy.
Didn't have any beats, though.
You didn't have any beats. That's true.
I will also say there's another Big Bang Theory reference in this show in season five. Which is the one where the sire like says like
it says young Sheldon.
Young Sheldon.
Yeah, I think it's the most recent season. Yeah.
I think the casino is the ideal environment for a vampire because the sun really doesn't come up. It's kind of timeless.
Famously, casinos don't put windows so you don't know what time it is.
Yeah. So
also, they don't have clocks.
Great for a vampire, really.
Perfect, except they go to their room, and I feel like the light shining through those curtains are too bright. Like,
that
I feel like it's too bright. I was scared for them.
I was also thinking that.
Well, it kind of made me wonder, like, if that's all it takes to keep the sunlight off of them, like, you could just put, like, a sheet or something. You know, like, if that cuts
the UV rays enough,
like, feels like a solvable. You could put, like, a beekeeper suit on, you'd be all right walking outside.
You know how people walk around Staten Island in a beekeeper suit?
Could vampires walk around during a solar eclipse, a total solar eclipse?
Oh, they should be able to, right?
Topical.
I assume.
They should be able to.
Topical in that, I don't know when this episode will actually get released, but,
North America just had
the solar eclipse this week, so.
During those 3 minutes or whatever, they were just living it up.
Does it have to be a total solar eclipse, or do you think, like the curtain, you cut out enough sunlight?
A power
if you block out enough, yeah, that they would be fine, but I don't know.
We'd love to test the theory if vampires were real.
High risk, high reward, gain of function research right there.
That is high risk, high reward. Well, really not high reward. It's really medium reward, because how often do solar eclipses
no reward,
come
really.
Around?
Yeah. Well, if you live, 700 years, you see quite a few.
Yeah, but like every 5 years.
There are
somebody,
like 18 months,
somebody write and then send to us a short story about an eternally living vampire who goes to see all the solar eclipses because he, she, or they want to go and party in the 3 minutes of totality. I think that'd be a great short story.
Mm. Ring ding ding.
Ring ding ding. Also, them saying slumber instead of sleep is always funny.
I like the Guillermo wake up. I asked you, are you slumbering?
Are you slumbering? Can you slumber? No, I am not slumbering.
I mean, it does feel like it does something different for them than sleep, right? Like, it restores their power. Like, slumber feels like they're delineating it from sleep.
Okay, well, then I ask, what is the causal mechanism by which ancestral soil restores their powers? Like, how does it let them sleep and, like, rejuvenates them? What effect, and does it, like, burn out?
I got it. Can I take this one, guys? I think, yes. Carson, to be honest, I think it's really simple. It might just be magic.
No, but my question is: usable? Is it a permanent resource? Does it just have to be there? Can they use it up? Like, is there some inherent magicness?
It. You know, Nando's had it for, probably not 750 years.
Well, you assume, but they
really
might
long
have
period of that time.
Vats of soil at their house that we just haven't seen before.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back to Dracula, what the, like, mechanism there is, and I don't really know. But he
Richie
had a lot
of it. Just like the comfort.
Just like the comfort.
It's like a teddy bear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Soil they got, fiber. Like, people have their favorite pillows they use to sleep.
Ring-a-ding-ding, I think you're on to something, Richie.
Okay, Carson, this is too many ring-a-ding-dings. We have to stop. It's good as gravy, but I don't know if it's ring-a-ding-ding.
It's good as gravy. Well, we also next get an explanation of how they have received all their money over the years, because they basically explicitly say it. They just take it by hypnotizing people.
Yeah, it is crazy. Assumed, the finance problems of the vampires is crazy to me.
Seems like they don't have problems, though.
But then they do in later seasons when Colin Robinson is, like, the only one who knows how the system works. And they don't have money, like, they don't immediately have money to give to Guillermo for the plane tickets, right? Like, that's why they have to go to Sean's credit card. It amazes me that they don't have just, like, loads of cash on hand.
I feel like Dracula did have cash.
Yeah, Dracula was a rich guy.
Dracula's landowner, yeah. He's got that castle and everything.
Part of the landed gentry, ain't he?
Buying a property in England, yeah. The part that I found deeply the funniest of this episode, and it's a tough contest, is Colin Robinson getting really into the hyperlocal casino TV program and singing along with the roll the dice, spin that wheel. It's really good.
What was the one, like, the sushi's raw?
Raw spa. I was like,
I want somebody to be really a whole song.
Down on a lucky deal.
Put that on Spotify. I'd listen.
Guillermo leaves to go collect ancestral soil, as we discussed, and he also does some accents, but I will have to say I think Richie's accents are better. So
off topic, if you think my accent, my Scouse accent is good, there's this dude who's like, he plays like FIFA with like some of the Everton squad, and he like hangs around with the Everton team now. He's like a content guy. He's unbelievably Scouse. It's Still Ryan. It's he seems to be like, yeah, like a super, super nice guy as well. It's absurd how Scouse he is.
Also, somewhat off topic here, but Richie, rough week for Everton, right? 2 more points they lost.
Listen, nothing can hurt us at this point. They've done so much.
That's what, 7 points of deduction or something this season?
8.
8? Oh.
It was 10 at first, and they brought it down to 6, and then 2 additional. They wanted to do 18. In total for this season.
Some bat packs.
Which is crazy. Because the point deduction for going into administration is 9. And they tried to double that. So, yeah.
I would just like to point out, guys, that I've noticed Claire has a little bit of an energy tonight. And I think it's because she's a little worried about getting her train that's in like an hour and a half.
All right, so we got to move. We got to burn.
Yes, get on the trolley.
She's sitting here like, and my next note says.
Yeah, because I do have to leave in about 15 minutes.
Okay, turn and burn. Okay.
Guillermo flies out of EWR. Fuck EWR. That airport sucks. Moving on.
What I got next? They watch the Big Bang Theory, and they comment how very faithful it is to the slot machine. I thought that was funny.
And Laszlo can be a real Leonard sometimes.
Also, I thought a funny plot line was Nandor having like an existential crisis when Colin Robinson explained to him the Big Bang Theory, Big Bang Theory, and Nandor's like explanation of what he thought, how the universe was like made and upheld.
The turtle.
I believe he thought it was
the four.
It
elephants.
Rested on the shoulders of 4 elephants who were stood on top of a turtle.
Nandor, I'm just gonna say it, and none of y'all are gonna understand, but 2 people in the audience are gonna love it. Nandor would love Terry Pratchett's Discworld.
I'm also obsessed that the art skills of the actors are clearly not up to the art skills of the production department.
The art department, yeah.
And so they like are drawing over this like really well crafted like piece of art on the wall, and it's like hilariously bad. Like everything else is great, and then everything they draw is so clearly inferior.
That is a really good point, actually. Yeah,
Colin has like a really effective display of
scientific knowledge. Yeah.
The Big Bang Theory, and
also for some reason Schrodinger's cat is also up there. But...
Unclear.
Well, yeah, there was a line during that where Colin Robinson is like, "Actually, Nandor, I know you thought it had something to do with cats." So I think that was maybe
he like crosses out a cat. Of cat.
No cats.
Yeah.
Well, I just think it's funny that like anytime physics gets mentioned in pop culture, somebody like pretty much invariably brings up Schrodinger's cat.
Which is like, correct me if I'm wrong, Carson, because I can't really remember exactly what it is, but that's like one of the most commonly misunderstood things, right? It's like,
yeah, because he was posing it as a thought experiment to show how like silly that people worry about quantum mechanics, but I won't get too into the weeds, like, but turns out quantum mechanics is kind of what it is. But he was saying that it doesn't really work like that. Like, he was trying to disprove people.
There is a line in that sequence when discussing the universe and its creation that I thought was funny, and I feel like I should use it against Matt whenever he tries to mention any science. Oh, but Con Robbins goes, "This is science." And then Nander goes, "But this is a turtle."
Yeah, that one is really good.
Response. That was my laugh for the show.
Matt had already seen the episode, and I was watching it commandeering his television. And there were a few episodes that Matt laughed at, having already seen the episode, and that was one of them. So that's
funny, though. Yeah.
Great line.
Also, after this, what I was alluding to earlier when we discussed about how this, I think this episode sets up a lot for this season as a whole. It really seeds the sow and like sows the seeds, not seeds the sows.
No, go with it.
Seeds the sows.
As good really as gravy seeds the sows.
Sow. Like, I'm going to abandon that phrase for
female pig.
Nandor's existential crisis. That's going to like, he has an existential crisis and he really starts to question his place in the universe. And that has provocations and effects later in the season. We've been having some similar thoughts earlier in the season, but I feel like this is one of the stronger seasons.
Yeah.
Because of it does set up a lot and it ties a lot in throughout the season, and I really like that.
There's a lot of character
while being
work.
Individually strong episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something else I thought was like cute about Nandor is like there was a part when he said like he's sad about being alone and stuff like that, and he's like looking at like the Atlantic City skyline. And then as soon as he says that, it zooms in on Guillermo's plane, like arriving back and touching
down. That was nice.
I thought that was a sweet little moment. But Leonard's like, I wish I had somebody with me. And it comes to the plane. But
that's to Guillermo. Yeah. I also enjoyed, so they're planning they're having their little planning meeting in the hotel room, and the drawings are behind them, and A-plus continuity, because the drawings that Mark Prosh and Kayvon Novak did on the back on the walls are still there, like the ones they clearly had drawn. So A-plus continuity from that.
They're gonna get charged so much for that hotel room to clean that off the wall.
They're just gonna hypnotize. Can you hypnotize through the phone?
Yeah, I think they
do it
that.
Do the TV, right? Because Nandor did it at the basketball game.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
I don't know if you need magic.
Well, maybe there's the magic proximity thing.
So old phones used to be analog, right? They used to like take your voice and like directly encode it into an electrical signal and send that as like a real signal. Now pretty much phones are almost all, at least at some point, become digital. So they're encoded as like ones and zeros.
It's an interesting point.
What's the difference?
So I'm saying, I think functionally for you, there's no difference. For the TV series, I think that an analog signal would contain the magic, while a digital signal
I like
might
this
not.
Hypothesis. Carson keeps triggering the balloon effect on his camera.
You've got to turn off the Zoom shit, dude. This
no,
is
I like
crazy.
It. I love I like that
it.
Hypothesis,
I like it, Carson,
though.
I keep it.
I'm working with that hypothesis, because I don't think you can hypnotize like through a text, you know?
Yeah, I have no evidence to support this, but I'm going to go with it anyway.
I like it nonetheless. It's a good headcanon. If you will.
I think it uses like ultrasonic vocalizations that we just don't know about. So
like
if you
bats.
Just have like a noise of it.
Well, fun fact, those would actually, like that would not work over the phone then. Because the phone phones are heavily optimized to send signals that are in the human voice and hearing range. It really can't send anything like outside of that range.
I'm learning so much about phones today.
I don't believe you.
I never expect to learn things on this podcast. Can we skip towards the end where the guy gets decapitated, which is
fucking
boxer
crazy.
Dies. Hilarious. I had forgotten that happened, and then as soon as he got the boxer scene, I was like, that's what's happening.
Their Ocean's 11 scheme is to basically fix this boxing. Why is there a boxing fight in a casino? Don't know.
Just happens.
That's pretty normal.
Just
at least
thing?
In the Vegas ones. Yeah, that's the thing, at least in
that's
Vegas.
That's wild. Anyway, they fix it, and somehow this guy decapitates the other guy, and it was fucking crazy. I forgot that happened in the episode, and I was like, oh my god. Anyway.
They just like striking. Show it, yeah. Which,
get that TVMA.
Did you see that someone goes and checks his pulse as well?
It's such a funny detail.
Like his head comes off, and some trainers up there, like his hand, like on his neck.
Oh my god! I also think we have another cute little Nandor Guillermo moment because Nandor finally says, "You did a very good job, Guillermo." Aw. Because Guillermo truly does all the fucking work in this episode.
We get a lot of Nandermo set up here, right? Guillermo practically comes out to them. Nandor is, like, longing for Guillermo. It's a solid ep in that regard.
A lot of good things happening.
Yo, Leslie.
Hello. Hi, Leslie.
Our roommate's back.
Hi, Leslie. Leslie. Oh, she can't hear me. Hello.
They say hello.
Hello. How's it going?
Good. How are you? Thank you.
We're finishing up a podcast.
No, you're fine.
It's not live.
It's not important. Yeah, yeah, we're broadcasting to the nation. Yeah.
The worst sentence ever uttered.
Okay, does anybody have anything else?
My last note is that there's a blurred slot machine as they're walking out. I think that's really funny.
Oh, that they had to, like, stop the copyright for or something?
Yeah. So apparently they were in a real casino. And
yeah,
they shot it on location somewhere. What? So they didn't get rights to that slot machine.
They got clearance for Bazinga, though. That's funny.
Oh, yeah.
True.
Well, that's why I mentioned it earlier, because I noticed the blurred one. I was like, how did they get rights for the Big Bang Theory one?
Yeah, that's weird. Rich, what's your note?
It's not so much about a note about the show, but someone's opinion on the show, because I know someone has to leave for a train soon.
So oh, we're doing,
should we? Does anyone have any notes?
Yeah, yeah,
Hitch Sauce. Bring Hitch Sauce up. What's he saying?
Okay, cool. On the road again. The whole gang decides to go to Atlantic City. It's dangerous because of the potential sleeping arrangements and the need for dirt from their ancestral homes. Of course, their dirt is vacuumed up by a maid cleaning their hotel room, while one of them is watching the TV show. Soon, they begin losing their powers, so Guillermo must visit four places in Europe to replace the dirt. There is a funny bit with some Rat Pack impersonators. They don't realize that these guys look nothing like the originals and treat them like royalty. There is also a bit where they borrow a credit card from one of their friends.
This is my favorite Hitch Sauce thing, because not only does he not remember Colin Robinson's name, he also misstates the number of places that Guillermo has to go to. He has to go to three places, not four, but thanks, Hitch Sauce.
I think the strangest sentence there is also a bit where they borrow a credit card from one of their friends. Like, that's not the issue that they borrowed a credit card.
It's
they don't have money. Like, that's just kind of, like, a part of, like, a bigger plot. Like, it's strange to mention that, and now, like, the repercussions of that.
Agreed, but to be fair, it does eat at, like, Laszlo. Like, Laszlo really wants to make amends for stealing this credit card. Sorry, I will let you.
I mean, they abandoned the credit card, and they have to give it back, so, yeah.
Also, I think it's funny to think that, like, Hitch Sauce, like, was alive during, like, the prime of the Rat Pack, since we just don't know how old this person is.
He is eternal.
Yeah, he's really
he's
old.
He's an ageless.
Yeah. I think that's... Yeah.
Anyway. Ratings?
That was his review. Or the review.
Gluten-free rating. I don't think they eat anything. They drink some stuff, but that seemed pretty gluten-free. I'm giving it 6 out of 5 bazingas.
Bazingas?
Bazingas. It's like Among Us.
Cars, what was your rating?
I'm going to go with 3 out of 5 Morrises from steerage that are wanked off.
Oh my god. How many Morrises are
Carson,
there?
Carson, you...
We got a Morris from
you're,
steerage.
You're kind of horny tonight. Like,
and we got a Guillermo almost coming out scene. So.
True. That's a good one.
Two things.
Sorry, guys. Just check the Uber times. We're fine. We got time.
You're not metroing?
No. I got a big bag.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Do a straighting.
Yeah.
Pretty straight. I mean, celebrating 20 years of a straight marriage, and it's Sean and Charmaine. You know?
These are the family values we need to uphold.
Yeah. These great Staten Island values. I'll
That's good.
Ooh, actually, I won't do that. I'll give it an 8 out of 11 members of the Ocean 11 heist crew.
Wait, Richie, what did you decide against?
9.
Oh, man.
Put it down a notch.
Yeah, fair play. Fair play there.
I'll give it 2 out of 3 ding ding dings and ring a ding ding ding.
He's getting more unhinged as time goes
ding-lings,
on.
Ding-lings, maybe? No.
2 or 3 gerunds.
Chardians. Chardians. I don't know. Sorry.
No, no, keep going.
Take a sip of water. Take a break, Karst. We're it's all right. We're done, man. Like, you know.
Okay, cool. Anybody got anything else, or should I plug the show to the people who are already listening to the show?
Hey, if you like our ODC? Show, listen to our show. You might like it.
Yeah, if you like our show, listen to our show. Come to Washington, D.C. It's a beautiful place, and not everybody who lives here works for the government, as some people think.
Nor do I.
So well, true. I mean, you kind of do, but like...
We can't say that. Edit that out.
Karsten lives in... I'll give you his exact address if you email
my social security number. Anyway, if you've liked this episode, hey, listen to more of us. You can follow us on social media at scramblies_pod on Instagram, TikTok, X. And you, if you want a shout out at the beginning of the show, email us brainscramblies@gmail.com. Next week we'll be watching, I don't know, another episode.
Probably episode 5.
Leslie, what episode is it? 7.
That's right.
Close. Yeah. Close.
Wait, guys, actually, we're going to skip 2. We're just going to do 7.
I'll stick. Actually, that would be hilarious if we just go back.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we're going to be. You guys go.